Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower with leaves sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. Purport. The fortune of the earth planet is praised because of its being specifically sustained by the Lord. Its beauty is appreciated and compared to that of a lotus flower situated on the trunk of an elephant. As a lotus flower with leaves is very beautifully situated, so the world with its many beautiful mountains appeared on the tusks of the Lord boar. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, very beautiful verse. I can't match anything what Prabhu was talking about yesterday because he's extremely knowledgeable and gives very good classes, so you have to put up with me for today. What we'd like to start with is first thing is from this verse we can see a very beautiful description of the Lord when he is basically coming out of the water and holding Mother Earth on his tusks, and it's a beautiful description. It says like infuriated elephant with a lotus flower, and it's very hard to picture that because we need to think about one thing: dimensions. Think about planet Earth on the tusks of a Lord boar, of Lord Varahadev, and we can't comprehend that in our minds. We can see the picture, but if you actually try to stop and think about the magnitude of the Lord's form and abilities, it kind of brings us to a totally different dimensions, the dimension of transcendence, the dimension where everything is possible. Why? Because Krishna can do everything, right? So In this scene, I would just like you to really think about this picture of the Lord lifting the earth. And the reason why I'm asking you to do this is we can very easily understand that the reasons why the Lord appeared. So would anybody be able to tell me why did Lord Varahadev appear? What was the purpose of his appearance? Why did he come to rescue the planet Earth? I mean, he could have created many Earths, right? Do you agree with that? Lord can create. So why did he come to specifically rescue this planet Earth? Anyone? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would be the key word in this presentation? Like, if you have to summarize it in one word, why did Lord Varaha come? Okay, we say pastimes, but what was there? Why do we rescue people? Why do we help anybody? What's the key word?
Compassion.
That's it. Compassion, mercy, love. So Krishna, Lord Varahadev, in this situation, he didn't have to do any of that, but he did it because he wanted to. There was multiple reasons, of course. One was to restore planet Earth into the order of the universe. Second one was to please the devotees who came and said, please, can you deal with this situation? And well, there's many, like I said. Number three would be he came because to show that he can do anything and come in any form he likes. So the most suitable form for lifting up the planet from the depths of the ocean, because she wasn't just dropped in, she was concealed. She was like covered. So perfect form was actually boar, because it has tusks, and the tusks are good for digging. So Lord appeared in a perfect form to rescue the planet Earth. So in this context, what else can we understand that I would like to talk? So we talk about the purpose of appearance. Next one is, what's the message in all of this? And third one, which I would like to come back later, is how do we apply these things in our own lives, and what does it mean to us? Because we can read Bhagavatam and discuss Bhagavatam, but if we don't take anything out, like when the class is over, if you don't take anything out of it, it's kind of, what's the point? So it's very important to actually stop and think about what we do, why we're doing it, and what's the goal. So the goal here is not me sitting here looking smart, definitely not smart, but it's to discuss the transcendental message from Srimad Bhagavatam and repeat the words that Srila Prabhupada very carefully put into the book, explaining the context and explaining what's going on there, so we can nicely understand that. Why? Because this helps us on our path in spiritual life. So in this context, we're going to carry on and ask further questions. When the Lord appeared and Lord Varahadev came to rescue the planet Earth, he, apart from taking her out, he also pleased the devotees. But most importantly, one thing we can notice here, that when there is a chaos in the universe, whether it's a big universe or it's a universe we live in, or this planet, or it's a universe of our mind, it's like a micro-universe, isn't it? Could we say our mind is like a micro-universe? And is there always order? We wish, right? So when there is a peril, when there is a perilous situation, whether it's within our minds, whether it's from other living entities, you know, three miseries of material life. And could anybody say? What are the three miseries? Adi? And? What's Adi Atmika? Mm-hmm. Adi Daivika? Mm-hmm. And Adi Bhautika? Right, so when those things hit us, I think we all have that experience, right? So the first thing to do is what? What happens when we have these issues? When there is a chaos?
You observe.
Observe and then do. What action do we take? Do we take any action? We pray. As Prabhu was saying yesterday, this most of the Bhagavatam is about prayers, and most of the time we pray for something, but the Bhagavatam is teaching us that prayers are deeper than that. The prayers are about connecting with the Lord, about connecting with devotional service and utilizing our ability for service. So the next thing with this would be the mercy, because why Krishna has to do anything? That was the original question. Why did Varahadev come? Why did he have to do anything? He didn't. He didn't have to do anything. But he did, out of causeless mercy and compassion. And that's the underlying tone of Krishna consciousness, of our movement, of our presence here and preaching we do and parampara. Everything is mercy. Do we agree with that? I experienced something like just a few weeks back, and somehow or other, things got arranged for me to go to Mayapur, and it was all sudden, and it was basically mercy. And I had the good fortune to visit TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and Prabhupada's quarters that they built there. They made it look like a hut, like a Prabhupada's hut. And while I was inside there and looking at Prabhupada's work and just Srila Prabhupada sitting there and that atmosphere, this whole thing, you kind of just, you know, sometimes you have this like a eureka moment. I just thought, if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, I wouldn't be here in Mayapur. Inside TOVP wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be standing in this room observing all this beautiful work done by Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know, I just got a little bit emotional because that it was very kind of, after all these years, it's almost kind of hit me that really, 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 if Srila Prabhupada didn't come and he didn't give all that mercy he gave, none of us would be here. We wouldn't be sitting here now in the temple room and doing seva. And so it's very, the mercy, it's like so powerful. And guess what? We can also be good instruments and exercise that mercy and give the mercy. Do you agree with that? Do we think we are tapping enough into that? Do we think we are doing enough? Do we do causeless mercy, or do we do mercy only when somebody gives mercy to us and then we give it back? Honest answer. Anybody? You have to start somewhere. That's true. But it's amazing because mercy says when Krishna gives mercy, we only have two hands. Well, how much can we take? And it's true, because the depth of this Krishna consciousness, the depth of bhakti, the depth of the reason why we are here, it's actually like limitless. Because we are spirit souls in this material world and we are connected eternally with our spiritual source, who is Krishna, and we are connected with the bhakti, and Krishna is unlimited, and everything in relation with Krishna is unlimited. Yet we are here fiddling with the material world and not paying attention to our eternal identity, to our real identity. So I would like you to just do a little exercise now, and that's to think about something that happened to you that was very kind of not very nice, that it really caused you sort of distress, or you were so worried. Try to bring back that thought and try to find a moment when you felt Krishna helped you. It must be something somewhere that happened. So I would like you all to just take 10-15 seconds, just sort of think deeply about when you had something really some difficulties and you thought all was lost and it's impossible, and then suddenly something happened and just everything changed. I do hope you had these moments, even if it's a little moment. And then think, when you were hopeless and you think nothing will work, and then things work. Did you remember Krishna? Did you remember, did you think, wow, this is Krishna working now? Did you think something happened that couldn't have happened normally in the material world, but there was something beyond this realm? Did anybody have that experience, that something changed and you couldn't really figure out how, but it went better? Yeah? Because the whole Bhagavatam, it goes like that. There is lots of bad situations in Bhagavatam, lots of stories that are quite traumatic. There are lots of events that devotees suffer. I mean, you know, Krishna why Krishna does these things. Why are, you know, there is so many stories when, I don't know, when we heard about Lord Shiva being insulted, you know, during the yagya of Daksha, and, you know, the whole chaos that happened afterwards, and then we hear about, I don't know, my brain is a bit fried. Any more things, any more stories when things were like not very good in Bhagavatam? Anybody reads Bhagavatam? Prahlad Maharaj, yes. That boy went through a lot. What else? Who else? What other stories we can remember? Queen Kunti. Prayers of Queen Kunti are there. What happened to her? What happened to Queen Kunti? There is a whole chapter of prayers. Why did she pray? What did she pray about? Mm-hmm. There was something else she was praying for. Please give me more calamity. Of course, we as a devotees as well, we need to be careful for that as well. Maybe if you want to pray like her, be careful, because you might be a bit too much. You know, she can do that. She's a surrendered soul. I was thinking somebody said, "Oh, I'm gonna do prayers of Queen Kunti. Like, I'm gonna pray like the same way." I was like, "You're gonna pray for calamities?" "Yes, yes, yes." And I'm like, "Okay. I mean, I think calamities come anyway, but you need to be really ready for that." And why is that? Because what happens when bad things happen? Like Mother Earth got kidnapped and put hidden away, and there was a whole chaos and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were terrorizing the whole universe. What's going on? Why is Krishna allowing that? Krishna can just stop it like in a millisecond. Okay, but say it's a very, very intense situation, very difficult to remember Krishna, but... Yes, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Why? Because events push us where? To the edge, right? The events in life happen, and what happens then? We try to take shelter of maybe different things, right? Let's be honest there. I do. You know, you try, oh, let me talk to my husband, let me do this, let me maybe read it. But not, you know, you come to the point where you have to do what? And pray. Prayers are very powerful. And we do pray. I believe we all pray every day. But when are your best prayers? Why? What makes a difference? Mm-hmm. Helpless, okay. I didn't hear that. Mm-hmm. And one more thing. Ladies, you're a bit quiet. Is anybody with a microphone could maybe... Oh, it's too quick. I'm sorry. You need some superpower there. I'll be slower. Okay? Okay, so anyhow, mercy is powerful. When do we need mercy? We need it all the time, but we are not aware that we need it all the time until something really bad happens and pushes us to the edge, when we finally think, okay, nothing else works. Krishna, please help me. I'm literally zero without you. We need that number one to make it meaningful, right? Krishna is number one. We are just zeros. Like, we can be thousands of zeros, but it's just still zero. With Krishna, we get that number one when it makes it kind of, oh, suddenly there is something, there is meaning in it. And important thing is emotion. We get pushed to the point when the ego and all that, like, you know, I'm good, I can do this, you know, it kind of crumbles, and the real emotion that really was deeply in our heart, we finally allow that emotion to come out and connect with Krishna. When I talk about emotion, I don't talk about sentimental thing like, oh yeah, I'm crying now for Krishna, and like, you know, look at me, you know, I'm devotee or whatever. I'm talking about the deep, profound emotion when we actually pray from our hearts. And it's very difficult to pray from our hearts when everything is good. Because we are used to, we get accustomed, right? We are comfortable, everything is fine. Life is good. But is it? Is it really good? It's a surface. It's good, but any moment, what can happen? We can go any moment. We can leave this body any moment. Anything can happen any moment. Things can change, turn around any moment. Because that's the nature of this world. And as in this verse, in this whole chapter about the appearance of Lord Varahadev, he's described this whole build-up of how things are happening and the prayers and finally even the miracle of Lord's appearance. In this case, Lord Varahadev appeared from? Where did he come from? From nostril. I mean, Krishna is, you have to admit, Krishna has a, he's very original in what he does stuff. You know, who would have thought of it coming out, like Lord Brahma is there, like he's talking to, and then suddenly Varahadev comes from his nostril and he's like, what just happened? I mean, think about that situation. You're like, you're a big Lord Brahma, you're speaking with them, you're reassuring them, yes, we pray, we're gonna sort this out, and then suddenly the help comes. It doesn't come on a, like a, you know, knight in a shining armor, but it comes as a little boar from his nostril. And then immediately, as Lord Brahma was in a state of shock, like, what's happening? Lord Varahadev just immediately assumed giant form, beautiful, smiling, just looking with all compassion and love. And he said, yeah, this is, you know, you asked for help, here I am. And because I, you know, I'm here to please you, I'm here to help you, because you're helpless. You can't do anything, you know, what was there to be done? They failed, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't change the situation. And how many times our Krishna consciousness in the form of Mother Earth drops into the ocean of material world and material thoughts and material conditioning and material habits. How many times that happens? So many times. For me, I can say it's so exhausting. It's so exhausting. You feel one day so good, you feel connected to Krishna, and the next moment, that beautiful consciousness just drops into the ocean of this material world. It's gone. And you're like, why, what just happened? And there is the, imagine losing something in the ocean. What are the chances of finding it? Zero. And how do we find, how do we restore that consciousness? How do we get back to reality, to real transcendental living? We need our own Varahadev. We really, really need Lord to come and find it and bring it to our attention, bring it so we can see it and we can restore it, we can help restore it and look after it. Do you agree it's difficult? But, you know, what is easy to do in that situation? What do you do in that situation? Anybody wants to share? What do you do when you wake up one day? Prabhu was talking about it yesterday, actually. The two things about, you know, responsibility, and there was two things he mentioned. One was intelligence, strong intelligence, right? Desire. And what was the second one? Desire. So going back to that, I actually, it was brilliant meditation that strong intelligence can help us in those situations. How do we, I'm pretty sure we all have some intelligence or lots of it, but strong intelligence is something else. What does it do to us? Why do we need that strong intelligence? I'm talking about spiritual intelligence, the intelligence that tells us, I know you really want to sleep now, but you should get up. I really feel like I'm not up for something, but you need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out and do it. How many times you want to do book distribution or do some service and you feel like, oh, I wish I don't have to do this today. I'm really not up for it. And then that's when you need to tap into that spiritual intelligence that should tell you, just do it. How do we gain the spiritual intelligence? What are some of the things that can strengthen the core of it and keep us safe in our spiritual life? You have to speak louder. Shastra. I mean, like studying, reading, paying attention to it? Yes, absolutely. Bhagavatam. We got 18,000 verses there. Bhagavad Gita.
Engaging devotional service. Krishna says those who engage in devotional service are given in buddhi, intelligence.
Gives us intelligence. Absolutely. Absolutely necessary.
Yesterday, Chaitanya Charanprabhu said, if we could do contemplation, what we read, and take away what convinced you in that, whatever you read, and contemplating on it, strengthens intelligence.
Mm-hmm. So, why am I... Yes, Prabhu.
Love for the guru.
Love for the guru, yes, absolutely. Why are these elements important? Why are we discussing this now? What is it? You know, we are talking about Bhagavatam, of course, but these little things we discuss here, for what purpose?
Practice.
That's it. Action. Taking action. Practice. Faith. So many elements. And we are busy. We are busy doing service, we are busy chanting, we are busy doing so many things, but we do need to stop sometime, hit the pause button and just contemplate and reflect on these facts. And like what are we lacking? We need to be honest with ourselves. Find the things you lack. So find the things you... And be honest with yourself. You know, there was a time like everybody wanted to be perfect devotee and everybody wanted to show up like everything is just 100%. But as the time goes, you realize it's not always the case, or hardly ever. And you shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed to speak to your confidential friend to talk about stuff that are actually obstacles in your spiritual life. It's very important to accept them so we can deal with them. Because if we don't accept them, they will fester there and they will so slowly, like little bugs who attack the plant, our bhakti lata, they're going to be just nibbling on our bhakti lata and just sort of destroying it. And that's why it's important. Association of devotees, so essential. When we say association is about having a good, strong devotees who are better than us, who are more advanced than us, and who are very compassionate towards us. It's a perfect combination, right? And then when we learn all of that, what do we do with it? We can give. We can pass it on to somebody who is in a greater need. Everybody is on some stage. There will always be going to be somebody who needs help and somebody who can give help. Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitara Lakshmana Hanuman Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. You know, they're so merciful. Look at them, standing there, smiling, looking so beautiful. Look at that outfit, look at the dress, look at the fresh flowers and beautiful deities, beautiful lords. Look so nice, and they don't have to be here, but they are, because of us, to give us mercy. Srila Prabhupada brought them to us. And we have everything. But we have to do the work. What Prabhu was saying yesterday about responsibility, it's a very funny thing, responsibility. Because so often we hear, Krishna, it's Krishna's arrangement. I have to see what Krishna's plan is. Krishna did that. That's Krishna's arrangement. But very often, it could be a little bit misleading. Because very often, it's not that Krishna is running around arranging things for us. That's not his job. Our job is to arrange things for our life and spiritual life. It's our responsibility. Krishna's mercy is to approve or disapprove or to give us little boost or redirect us. If we are going towards the edge of the cliff, he might pull us back, or he might put something in front of us, like a block, to stop us from getting worse. And we're like, oh, what's going on? But I really want to go that way. And it's like not working. It's Krishna's mercy. So in every situation, we can see Krishna, basically. That's the point. What can we say about responsibility? How are we responsible? What does it mean in spiritual life? What is spiritual responsibility? Eating prasad?
Understanding what you are given, and feeling of life,
mm-hmm.
Response.
Yep.
Taking anxiety for the moment. Taking some anxiety for the moment.
Yes. My spiritual master, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, he said, if you want to make fast progress, take more responsibility. And it's kind of like, it sounds very simple, but when you think about it, very often devotees say, I'm not qualified. When you say, take more responsibility, be a head pujari, be a head of the kitchen, be a leader or something. And first thing the devotee said, I'm not qualified. Is that a really good answer? Huh? Yeah. So. But the problem with that, yes, is it could say it's genuine, we are not qualified. But say opportunity is there and service needs us. And when we say we are not qualified, it depends what we think of that. Does it mean we don't have a set of skills necessary for that service? Say somebody wants you to cook and you haven't got a clue how to cook. Does it mean you're never going to cook? Or you're going to take action and think, for Krishna, I will learn how to cook. Which action is more favorable? Do you think you should just say, I'm not qualified, Prabhu, not me? Or, you know what, let me learn this, why not? Let me try. And then you learn more skills.
Can I say something that you said to me? There was a manager, Swiss manager, and he says, first, thing to realize is to know your level of incompetence. You know, so many people, they go for the highest, but they become incompetent. And so we have to have an understanding that we are fallible, and life's a teacher in that way, you know. It's like the number of times I clean something and then it jumps out my hand and I have to clean it again. It's a horrible thing in old age, you know. Accidents, tripping over, banging your head. Mm. It's life. It's a reality check, you know.
It is?
Yeah.
But we have to get up and try again.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Not to be discouraged. Because because it's very easy to get discouraged. Like Mother Earth was probably very much hopeless. You know, imagine that, being kidnapped and stashed away, and it's like, who's going to find me, you can think. But very often we can think that, who's going to find me? Will Krishna's mercy find me? And how does Krishna's mercy find us? It's through the mercy of devotees. And could be mercy of other people as well. It doesn't have to be even devotees. We can meet somebody random, and that person can say the exact thing we need to hear. That happens as well, especially if you do book distribution, especially if you're on Sankirtan. Sometimes you meet people and they just say things to you and you're like, how did you know? How does that work? You know, so you can feel that Krishna is everywhere. We just need to open our hearts to the possibilities of hearing. And the good news is we have built-in receiver. You know, in many things we buy sometimes that there is things missing, but we actually have a built-in receiver for Krishna. You know why? Because we are spirit souls. And I just want to read you one verse here. It's Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya, chapter 20, verse 108 and 109. How fitting, 108. And it's a very famous verse. You probably all know the first line, which is Jivera Svarupa Hoya Krishnera Nityadas Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Veda Veda Prakash Suryam Shakirana Yaiche Agni Jvala Chaya Svabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakara Shakti Haya. Beautiful. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. And then he says Krishna has three varieties of energy. Why is this verse so beautiful? It's because it shows us that we have direct link with Krishna. We are part of Krishna. Krishna created us. We are part. We can ask for help. We can beg for mercy. We can approach Krishna as a person. Very important thing. Krishna is not just some deity on the altar sitting there. He's a person. He's a personality. You know, we cook. We cook for Krishna like six times a day. Krishna is fed. And he's put to sleep in the night. And he's put into night dress every night. And he then in the morning he's washed and he's put into new outfit. He's dressed and decorated. Look at that. Every single day, those personalities on the altar get dressed with great care. Five pujaris and one more who does better. Six devotees are there taking care and dressing them so beautifully and washing them. It's they're persons, they're personalities, and they're approachable. So when we pray, when we approach them, try to see them as personalities, try to see them as someone who hears you, who responds to you. I mean, you know, somebody said once, we look at the deities and they stand still, but they're more alive than we are. And that really struck me. They're more alive than we are. Why? Because we are tiny soul in the big material body, in the material world. While they're transcendental, wherever they are. So to conclude here is, beautiful Lord Varahadev appeared, Krishna appeared. Lord Varahadev is his Leela avatar, so he comes because of the Leela, but really he appears to please his devotees out of love. Why you want to please anyone? Why does Krishna want to please his devotees? Because he hates them? I want to see who is awake. Because he loves them, right? And that love is the key ingredient. We call love bhakti. Bhakti as a sentiment when we want to do something for Krishna just because. Okay? no motivation, not I'm going to do this for Krishna, but I'm hoping Krishna will reward me. I mean, that's also good. It's a good stepping stone. It's best to have some relationship than no relationship, but the aim, the goal of this whole, our exercise in this lifetime, being devotees, is to achieve that finer level of love, which is bhakti, which we do things for Krishna not because we want something back, but because it's pleasing the Lord. And one thing we can connect as well is pleasing the Lord. We please our spiritual master. If you don't have one, you have Srila Prabhupada, is always here. But we actually have not just one, we have all Guru Parampara. So by pleasing all those Vaishnavas who are present, their spiritual personalities, they're present, even like now, they're present. Pleasing them and then pleasing the Lord, because when we offer everything to the Lord, we offer to Guru and to Parampara, and then we hope that by their mercy, our offering is passed on to Krishna. So that's the system, how it works. We don't offer directly to Krishna, we offer to spiritual master, who offers to his spiritual master, then it goes on all the way to Lord Krishna. And with that we have hope, and I hope that by listening to this and thinking about and having some takeaways, that what we can do in our life is to sincere pray. When the difficulties come, do think of Krishna. Krishna is there somewhere in the whole situation. Don't lose hope. And try to surround yourself with devotees who care about you. And if you don't have any, make more contacts, reach out, speak, create meaningful relationships, because trust me, you will need them. And with that, I will finish here. And if you have any more questions, I'm happy to answer. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.